Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is
don't ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. On this program, you receive a week worth of news in just one setting. And if this is your first time here, welcome to the show. Our calling number tonight is area code 323-693-3038. We're here 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live every Thursday. So if you listen to the archives, you can always check us out live on Thursdays. Now, on this program, President Barack Obama commuted 61 prison sentences this week, and the U.S. government has paid out $3 billion to vaccine-injured families. I have a big story on vaccine, so we'll talk about that. The U.S. population grew in almost every state last year as migrants flocked to the East Coast. Seems kind of odd, right? Birth rates soar in North Dakota, and the North Dakota's oil industry thrives, so that's where our pockets of population increase grew, apparently. Now, NBC sells $1 billion in ads for the Rio Olympics, and the FBI breaks into the San Bernardino shooter's iPhone without Apple's help. We have that this week in court and much more, so I want to welcome you again onto the show. You're listening to Esprit.net News. This is a weekly summary, a weekly wrap-up show of all the news for the past week or since our last show. So if you haven't checked that out and you want to check out some of our shows and archives, just go into espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com, and I'm sure there's something in there that you didn't know from last week, but there's always something on the show that wasn't covered in major media, so there you have it. Now, Sesame Street's actor, David Smurrell, he died of lung cancer at the age of 80 years old. Now, he is the Emmy Award-winning Best Actor known for his role as Mr. Hanford on Sesame Street. He died this week in Philadelphia, is what his wife said. Now, of course, if he's 80, Sesame Street's been around a while, so I do remember him, kind of I want to say he was kind of like, he did a lot of things, the handyman, Mr. Hanford, you know, that kind of thing, but he was, in my memory of Sesame Street, he was pretty much a main character, so wanted to make sure I started off this show with that. Now, our first story, the U.S. population swelled by hefty 0.79% last year. Now, oil-rich North Dakota saw the biggest rise of any state with a 2.28% increase. Just seven states saw a dip. West Virginia, the home of the flailing coal industry, saw the greatest decline of a mere 0.25%. Now, internal immigration or internal migration, they didn't immigrate, they just migrated, was a significant factor for most states, particularly in North Dakota, which has attracted millions of workers this year alone. Meanwhile, international immigrants or international migrants flocked to the East Coast. So New York, Florida, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Connecticut, Maryland, and Hawaii all increased their populations by 0.5% due to international migration. Now, a key factor contributing to the increase was the climbing birth rate in all states. That's coupled with people living longer. And as of July 2015, 8 babies were born every second. That's up 5% in just 5 years. And 11 people died every second. So we're up to 8 babies being born every second and 11 people dying every second. I don't know how that works itself out. But, you know, I won't give you the numbers on what groups have negative birth rates, but believe me, there is a shift in the U.S. population. So just wanted to do that. But the U.S. population has increased. Now, a tie vote from the Supreme Court on Tuesday handed a win to labor unions in the high-profile dispute over their ability to collect fees. Now, the justices divided 4-4 in a case that considered whether public employees represented by unions can be required to pay fair share fees covering collective bargaining costs, even if they're not members. Now, the split vote leaves in place the appeals court ruling that upheld the practice. Now, and the result is an unlikely victory for organized labor after it seemed almost certain that the high court would rule 5-4 to overturn that rule. But it's been in place for 40 years, and since Justice Scalia isn't there, the unions won finally in a case that just seemed like it was way too obvious. But here we go. We're in the U.S., so hopefully the new Supreme Court justices get confirmed, and we don't know what's going to happen. I don't know too much about that guy in particular, but hopefully the country will start progressing opposed to overturning all of the fights that were fought in the past for, you know, a bunch of different things. Just thought I'd share. Now, archaeologists in Boston are digging at the boyhood home of the iconic civil rights icon Elhaj Malik al-Shabazz, or Malcolm Shabazz, or Malcolm X. Now, I didn't really understand the story, but the 2-week archaeological dig began on Tuesday in Boston's Roxbury neighborhood. Now, organizers say that they hope to find out more about his early life. Members of his family and community residents are expected to help the Boston's archaeological lab and research from the University of Massachusetts Boston undertake the excavation. Now, Shabazz lived with his sister's family in Boston in the 40s as a teenager. Now, I think that this is, unless they were burying stuff in the backyard, this just seems really strange. You can go to any of my childhood homes, and I'm sure that there is nothing. If you excavate the ground that we lived, I don't think we were in the burying stuff. I don't know. Just seems kind of strange, but they're digging up his home to see what they can find. I don't know how they'll know if it's his or not, but that's a whole other story. Now, 1 in 3 Americans now has a tattoo, but employees still hate them, is what a new survey says. Now, while a majority of Americans say they'll be comfortable seeing judges and presidential candidates with tattoo, 60% of human resource workers say tattoos would reflect badly in an interview. And for the record, I'm not one of those people who said that they'll be okay with that. I do not want to see anybody in any position making decisions on my life with tattoos. I don't know why I feel that way, but I'm just saying, maybe. Just didn't grow up with that. But I think that Or depending if I can see the tattoo. I just don't want to see them. So there you have it. So the majority of employers don't like them. But, you know, if you're going to go start in business yourself, get a tattoo. I'm not telling you not to. Now, President Barack Obama and his family were among more than 500 people attending Easter Sunday service at a historical black church in Virginia. Now, Reverend Howard John Wesley, the pastor at Alfred Street Baptist Church, welcomed the Obamas, whom he described as a gorgeous family. The president tweeted their family portrait with a caption, "From our family to yours, Easter Sunday, and we wish everyone celebrating a blessed and joyful day." Now, I just want to give say what's up to a really good friend of mine, Aaron Smith. That is his home church, and I'm sure we'll have stories a little bit later. But, hey, Smitty, give me a call. Let me know how that went, but just wanted to shout him out as well. Now, thousands of children this week descended up on the White House for the annual Easter egg roll. Now, about 250 of them joined the First Lady, Michelle Obama, for a run. The Fun Run is the latest addition to the event, which began in 1878 and now includes storytelling, musical performances, and tips from professional athletes on how to play basketball, tennis, and other sports. The cast of Black-ish, Shaquille O'Neal, and Shonda Rhimes, amongst many others, was there, but those guys in particular read stories in the story corner. Beyonce, Jay-Z, and their daughter Blue Ivy, was, and relatives, including her mother, Tina Knowles, also attended the event. Now, the weather was, the First Lady said, "Today is bittersweet for us because this is the last Obama administration Easter egg roll," is what the First Lady told the crowd. She praised her husband and told the crowd that she was amazed by what their administration has accomplished in 7 years, including opening the White House to as many people, as many backgrounds as possible, and exposing families to healthy living. More than 35,000 people received tickets that allowed them to walk on the South Lawn of the White House, rain or shine. So I want to say, with the little girl who was really upset about the president leaving, I am with you. And by the way, on a side note, as a side story, the president also met with that little girl and her family this week. But since it happened today, I'm not going to put the story in here, but I'll save it till next week. But it was really cool. And maybe I'll play the audio from his meeting with her. So there you have that. Now, the president also was asked during his annual Easter egg or the Easter prayer breakfast, which was early in the morning at the White House, what his plans were following his presidency, to which he replied, he intends to sleep for 4 months. So he's still not letting them know, but he's had a long one. So the president is, just wanted to put that out there. Now, the president this week commuted the prison sentences of 61 drug offenders on Wednesday and included more than a third serving life sentences in working to give new energy to calls for overhauling the U.S. criminal justice system. Now, all of the inmates were serving time for drug possession, intent to sell, or related crimes. Most are nonviolent offenders, although a few were charged with firearms violations. Now, the president's commutations, that's what they were. He commuted them, shortens their sentence. It's commutations is what they were. Shorted their sentences, with most of the inmates set to be released on July 28th. Now, the president, in a letter to the inmates, received commutations, said the president's power to grant commutations and pardons embodies the basic belief in our democracy that people deserve a second chance after having made a mistake in their lives that led to a conviction under our laws. Now, the latest group of commutations brings to 248 the total number of inmates whose sentences that the president has commuted. Now, that's more than the past six presidents combined, is what the White House said. So I know that there's going to be a lot of commentary on this, but the president is finally kind of doing some corrective surgery to the get tough on war on drugs and all of that other stuff with these inflated sentences. So hopefully he'll get to some of the pardons and start pardoning some of the people who should have been pardoned a long, long time ago. I started to throw some names out. Well, Mumia, Shakur. I just wanted to throw out just one name for them. And, hey, you know, while you're at it, we would just like to remind the president, just like the president of Jamaica asked, that he should probably pardon Marcus Garvey as well. But I am looking forward to that to see if he's just going to start doing some things that it's going to make us all proud. I mean, he has already, so just wanted to share that. Marcus Garvey, if you're listening. Now, former Cuban president Fidel Castro revealed his feelings about the reestablishment of diplomatic relations between the U.S. and Cuba. Castro wrote an article that appeared in Cuba's official newspaper with the headlines, Brother Obama. Now, in his 1,500-word letter, Fidel Castro also reminded readers of the Bay of Pig invasion in 1961, in which the CIA-sponsored paramilitary force of Cuban exiles attempted to take over the island. He believed the overtly negative and inaccurate views of the 1958 Cuban Revolution, of which Castro was the primary leader, was wrong. So he said the hateful, racist customs of Cuba's pre-revolutionary government, hiring strong men to expel black citizens from recreational centers, was swept away by the Cuban Revolution, is what Castro wrote. An honorable chapter in the struggle for human liberation was written here. Now, Castro went on to condemn the U.S. failed 1961 Bay of Pig invasions, which was a disaster for both nations, involved the death of numerous Cuban fighters. Nothing can justify that attack, which cost our country hundreds of losses, including the deaths and injuries, is what he wrote. After a ruthless blockade that has lasted almost 60 years, and what about those who have died in mercenary attacks on Cuban ships and ports? An airliner full of passengers blew up in midair, mercenary invasions, multiple acts of violence, and coercion. Now, he also argued, this is Castro, the U.S. government should adjust its views on Cuba's past, and the island's people should rely on no one but their homeland. This is what Cuba is saying. We do not need an empire to give us anything. He stated, our efforts will be legal and peaceful, as this is our commitment to the peace and fraternity among all human beings who live on this planet. Now, Castro is 89 years old. He's an 89-year-old former president who said his modest suggestion was that Mr. Obama reflects and does not try to develop theories about Cuban politics. Now, hey, there you have it. Just wanted to do the whole story because I happen to agree. Not that this is not well documented, but, you know, the regime before the Castro or before the Cuban Revolution in 1959, it was brutal. So if you ever want to read something really horrible, read about Batista in Cuba. So he's making a point. I know everybody wants to paint a bad picture of Cuba, but do some research on that and see how Cuba was prior to the Cuban Revolution, and you will see something really interesting. You know, when I talk about South America, and also while we're still talking about politics, the president recently visited Argentina, and they really hate the United States. And Argentina hates the United States because we backed a military dictator in Cuba like we did in Argentina and some of those other regions. So President Obama went there, well-received. And, If you didn't see this on the internet earlier or already, he danced the tango. Now, the woman who danced the tango with the president is professional dancer Maura Gore. Now, she has admitted that she was told not to approach President Obama during a state dinner in Buenos Aires, Argentina, but she did anyway, saying that these things don't happen every day. Now, after she approached the president, the pair performed the tango, much to the surprise of her, or is what she said, much to her surprise. However, she added that the president was an exceptional dancer and followed her lead. Now, again, if that country was really bad, she would be getting punished for that because you're not really supposed to cross the line of that. But she said, hey, how can I pass up the opportunity while we were talking about that? All right, now the FBI and the Justice Department probed the world's biggest bribery scandal as oil firms are accused of paying billions to corrupt officials. Now, U.S. giant Halliburton, who has now changed their name to Blackwater or to something else, former subsidiary of Kellogg, Brown, and Root, and Texas firm National Oil Well, Varco, are implicated in bribery investigation involving fixer companies, and I guess it's called Unioil, that's run by Eta Ashan. So he is going to get, I guess he's under investigation, and I suspect that they'll probably get convicted under the Obama administration, and the next president will probably pardon them. So let's see how this goes, because this is Dick Cheney's group of friends, but the Justice Department is talking about the world's largest bribery scandal, and we're going to see how this goes. Hey, they're still doing good while they're there, so still have time. Now, the officers who shot an unarmed black man, Jamar Clark, will not be charged because the evidence showed that they feared for their lives, is what a judge said. Now, the evidence showed Jamar Clark, who's 24, was not handcuffed at the time, attempted to gain control of an officer's weapon, is what they said, and the officers believed that they were in danger of being shot, and they shot him. I have no more on that story, so I'll move on. Now, award-winning anchorwoman, she was fired for her racist Facebook post about murder suspects, saying, You needn't be a criminal profiler to draw a mental sketch of killers. They're black. Now, WTAE severed ties with Wendy Bell following her controversial and racist comments that she made about a suburban ambush that left five people, including a pregnant woman, dead. And so she was fired this week. I don't know how this is playing on major national TV because I haven't seen it. But interesting enough, you can't have your impartial people racist and impartial. Well, again, Donald Trump's out there, so he's alleged racist, right? Now, former cop who was sentenced to 35 years in prison for killing an Oregon teen and ditching her body in a suitcase after meeting her in a bondage website where he called himself Mr. Handcuffs, former Milwaukee police officer Stephen Zelch was sentenced on Wednesday to 35 years in prison for killing a 19-year-old Jenny Gamantz in 2012 and ditching her body on the highway. So just to get all of the bad stories out of the way. Stanford University swimmer, 20, is found guilty of raping an unconscious woman outside of a fraternity party. Brock Turner, 20, faces up to 10 years in prison when he's sentenced on June 2nd. He's a former Stanford swimmer and who's from Dayton, Ohio. Okay. Had to get past the bad stories so I can go to this one. Now, Whoopi Goldberg from New York is launching a line of marijuana-infused products to help women who suffer from stomach cramps during their cycle. Now, she's partnering with someone else to do this, but I thought it was interesting that Whoopi, who I think she has a medical glaucoma card or whatever you want to call it, but she uses for medicinal purposes, I think is what it's called, is now starting out a new venture where she and also Snoop. And so not that I'm pro for or against this as an illegal business, but at least they're not all being locked out. So, hey, big up to Whoopi Goldberg. I really can't say anything about that. Now, at least five undercover NYPD cars are disguised as yellow taxis are patrolling the streets of New York. And you'd struggle to spot who the fake ones, but a Freedom of Information request has revealed that the NYPD has at least five undercover cars posing as yellow cabs that ride around New York City with the full power to pull police over. Now, I don't know if I'd stop for a cab, but I guess they normally don't stop for me, so me stopping for one would probably be above the pale. All right, on that note, you listen to Esprit Net News on Esprit Radio. I want to thank you for joining us. Our calling number is area code 323-693-3038. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to the commish. Let's go to Kathleen. How are you, Kathleen? How are you doing?
I'm good, Rome. How are you doing?
I am good. I'm good. You know, I'm guessing that you came in on the Anchor Woman, not the... Oh, no, the Whoopi. No, I'm guessing. Was it the Whoopi Goldberg one? Or was
yes,
it?
Yes, okay. Indeed. I was going to comment on the Tango, but I figured I'd wait until he's out of office to comment on that one.
Yeah. I think I wanted to save that story too. But you know, when people talk about how bad countries are, when they tell you, when it's an official state dinner and they give you instructions what to do and what not to do, you are not supposed to break it.
Period.
And so you can't say, I just had to because it was him. Like, you just can't do that. So anyway, so I'm surprised that, you know, it's a big story on her and pictures and everything, that they didn't throw her in jail.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, that's how I feel about that. Especially if, you know, this is a, you know, like we...
It's an official, yeah.
Presidents haven't been there for a long time, and all of a sudden you get somebody who's going to come in there and act a fool. Like, come on. Really?
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened, too.
She put her leg all up on him and everything. I'm like, Did we really have to go there?
Right. It's because, you know... And see, that's the thing. That's why you always need security, is because it's not that you don't have fans or anything, but people do things that they are not supposed to do. Like, you know you're not supposed to do that. And she was warned not to do it and still did it. So,
but here's my thing, right? And here's, like, okay, so I don't want to be telling people to throw women in jail and all that stuff, but this is common sense. If you have to warn somebody not to do something like that, then maybe that should not be the person that you have in there.
No. But I think it was kind of like when you do an official state dinner, it's like saying when an honor guard comes out that you can't break file and wave at someone. Like, you just can't do that. So they're all kind of warned about, you know, just their basic decorum stuff. So they were dancing as a whatever for the guest, and you don't go up as entertainment. It's like being a fire breather and then grabbing the president and go, hey, why don't you breathe this, you know, why don't you blow on this match and make the fire, you know, you're not supposed to do that. So I think it's just, they were just entertainment. You're not a part of she dishonored her president because they were at the table as well. Their president and first lady was at the table. So they're not supposed to kind of go up to the head table. They were supposed to dance as a display and then take their curtsy and bounce. But
and
apparently
where
that was
this? That's what I'm saying. Well, you know, so something to be said for Donald Trump's security.
No. Yeah. Lucky our Secret Service didn't take her down, because they don't play. So lucky they didn't do that. So you said that you wanted to mention the Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh yeah, sorry about that. I thought I wasn't gonna talk about that. Damn. Anyway, so yes, I wanted to talk about Whoopi Goldberg. So when I did, everybody had cramps.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about it that way. So you just got a bunch of people,
everybody,
and police pull you over. You're like, look, I had cramps. Like, this for women in cycles. Like, hey, my girlfriend's having cramps, which give me cramps.
You know what
so
I mean?
Everybody's going to have them.
Everybody had cramps. Everybody, you know? Some days you say, look, I can't go to school. And your mother would be like, get up. Here's an extra pad.
You know they say, like, when people live in the same spot, they go in the cycle at the same time. So can you imagine, like, a bunch of people sitting around and be like, yep, she had cramps too. Like, that, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
We friends, we tight.
Yeah,
I can see some police officer backing out of that one, like, okay, I don't know anything about that.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, you know, so what do you use it, I guess, if you're using it for everything? And I'm not saying that cramps are not bad. Cramps can be devastating. Please.
No,
it's
marijuana-infused products, though. So it could be candy. It could be teas. It could be. It doesn't mean that it's the smoking version of it, but it may be the subsidiary, like candy stuff, brownies, whatever. I don't know. I don't know why you use brownies.
But what about Midol? What happened to Midol?
We're trying to run the drug companies out of business. Well, I think we're starting a new one. But
I'm assuming this is for, you know, severe cramps. Because there are women who get very severe cramps, but I just feel like at some point you have to be clear about these things, so that, you know, because recklessness is a serious thing. You just go around telling teen girls, oh, you got your cramps, you got cramps.
We'll send them to Swami. Like, you don't really have to do that. Go to the detox bar in Queens and get something other than having to.
Yeah, figure out why you have really, really bad cramps, because it's not normal to have them that bad.
Exactly,
so there's usually something wrong. You know what I mean? But anyway, so
mm-hmm.
I'll hush right.
Well, I need to stop agreeing with you, because I actually know that, but, you know, I guess I'm not supposed to say that I'm a guy, so I'm not really supposed to co-sign it. But anyway, something is wrong, if that's the case. Now, in Germany, let me move on from the cramp story. In Germany, there's plans on books to make new laws that will force migrants to learn German and to integrate into their society or leave. Now, Germany's interior minister said that refugees would have to accept the initiative or face losing their permanent right of residence. They want them to speak German. Why don't they make them speak English? Don't nobody speak German? I'm just joking. Like, see, that's me as an American.
They have to learn German, or they could lose their permanent right of residence?
Yeah, they're saying they have plans to put that law in the book. Now, it's not there yet, but they're saying if you migrate in this country, you have to make a pledge to learn how to speak German.
And this is in Germany.
Yes.
If you migrate there. So from anywhere. From any place.
Yeah, and so I guess it's to deal with all the migrants that they're bringing in because of the war-torn countries that's in the area. And people are going to Germany. So they want the people coming in to pledge that they will learn how to speak German. I remember this bull in this country, but I really think that that's horrible to say, because you get that's paranoia. If they're speaking a different language, they could be talking about me. It's like, well, you might need to comb your hair. Like, whatever it is, like, don't worry about what other people are saying. But we're messy that way. I don't know. That's just my.
Well, they did that to us, didn't we? Didn't
Yeah, yep. That's why I'm saying it's a bad deal. Like I'm saying, it never worked.
Okay.
It never works anyway. All right, now, the multi-billion-dollar Rockefeller Family Fund has announced its plans to withdraw all funds from the oil industry after 146 years in the business. Now, in a statement released this week, the charitable fund slammed ExxonMobil as morally reprehensible for misleading the public about how much fossil fuel contribute to climate change. And though only only a sliver of their endowment, their modest $130 million in assets is invested into fossil fuels, the move is notable. So a century ago, John D. Rockefeller Sr. made a fortune running Standard Oil, and Standard Oil kind of merged and bought Mobil, and now it's ExxonMobil. So they kind of merged them all. So the charity said that it will eliminate holdings in Exxon as soon as possible and would also divest from coal and Canadian oil sands. They have money all over the place is the problem. Given the threat posed to the survival of the human and natural ecosystems, they said that there is no sane rationale for companies to continue to explore new resources of hydrocarbons, is what the Rockefeller Family Fund said. Now, as early as 2008, members of the Rockefeller family called Exxon to increase spending for alternative fuels, and in late 2014, another fund associated with the family, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, the RBF, said that it would divest from fossil fuels. Now, get this. The Rockefeller Family Fund and the Rockefeller Brothers Fund were separate. So who knows how many Rockefeller funds own Mobil, but two of them just pulled out. There's nothing really good about the story to begin with, but I guess it's a publicity stunt because the Rockefellers made money from World War II from the Germans. So we won't even talk about that today. But hey, we won't go into facts with that fund because of the denial of climate change. How about the denial of the fact that the Rockefeller Foundation commissioned a definitive history of World War II just to write themselves, Standard Oil, IBM, and a bunch of other companies out of the history books that they made money from the Germans during World War II and won. So IBM actually made the punch cards that they used when they were putting Jews in concentration camps.
Oh my God. That was
IBM that made those. Yeah. So the Rockefeller Fund or Foundation actually wrote a definitive history, which we all use in our history books. But they wrote them out. The Bush, the great-grandfather of President Bush, who owned one of the banks in New York City that the Germans were putting all their money in. They ended up closing the bank, but Germany had a lot of money in U.S. banks in New York City. There we have it. All right, now, with that being said.
I heard something recently. Did I hear this on Esprit News Radio where you're talking about the BMW, right? Wasn't that you?
Yes, BMW recently apologized for their role because they turned their factories and had slave labor to build machines, and BMW made a lot of money off of the enslaved people for that. Yep. Now, you know, I want to do this story because I don't know if you heard about the Vax documentary that what's his name? Al Pacino. It wasn't Al Pacino who started the Sundance Film Fest? Is it Pacino? Yes.
What was that? Did Al Pacino?
It's Al Pacino who started the Sundance Music Fest. I mean, Music Fest.
Oh.
Movie
Film
Festival,
Festival,
right?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Well, I think it is. But so they recently pulled this documentary. The story, this Natural News is reporting, it's a news site, that the story of censorship of the Vax documentary continues to unfold. Because, oh, I'm sorry. It was Robert De Niro. Who did I say? Pacino. It was Robert De Niro was pressured by none other than the Sloan Foundation in New York to blacklist this independent documentary. So the Sloan Foundation is so named for Alfred Sloan, who was a Nazi collaborator, speaking of Germany, and a eugenics depopulation promoter. And it is no coincidence that his own beliefs, this is what's reported by Natural News, is that his own beliefs using medical intervention to reduce race-targeted populations coincides perfectly with the stated depopulation goals of Bill Gates, whose financial web of influence is woven across the entire vaccine propaganda landscape. So the industrialist Alfred P. Sloan, as the head of General Motors, was a Nazi collaborator. Get that again, right? So General Motors was another company, and an ardent admirer of Hitler. So Sloan's hatred of blacks was almost as intense as his hatred of Jews, is what they wrote. He has a close connection with the eugenics movement of the time, which eventually became the Human Genome Project that we heard a lot about for the last 5 years. And the Sloan Foundation, together with the Rockefeller Nexus, held the longstanding interest in population reduction, including their involvement with the introduction of mysterious new vaccines, together with the World Health Organization, which has stated policies of population reduction. Now, it was clearly set forth in Agenda 21. If you want to know anything about Agenda 21, you can look it up online. But the Sloan Foundation held 24,000 to 53,000 shares of Merck & Co., the pharmaceutical company. And if president of Merck is George W. Merck, who was the director of America's biological weapons industry, whose hepatitis C and polio vaccines have been suspected of transmitting AIDS during that whole time. So I just wanted to say that in this work, there's a book called Population Controlled AIDS/Ebola and Other Man-Made Diseases. It's published in July 29, 2014 by Dr. Leonard Horowitz. His seminal work on AIDS and Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intent. And it contains that both Ebola and AIDS were biologically engineered by scientists working for the CIA. So the CDC vaccine science cover-up, which was admitted by Dr. William Thompson, who worked for the CDC, said that specifically, it points out that African American children were subjected to high autism risk from vaccines. And yes, there was a racial genocide component to it all, and it fits with the eugenics history of Alfred Sloan. So Robert De Niro was put under a lot of pressure to censor this Vax documentary that was spoke. He first approved it because he has an autistic child. And once it got really bad, he pretty much had to next it. I know that was a lot of words, but I really wanted to get through that story for the record. Did you hear anything about that?
He wanted to put out the documentary, but he was forced to next it by the Sloan Foundation.
Not just the they were the main ones who started it. But every major media news station came out with some doctor that says all vaccines are safe and don't worry about it. And Robert Kennedy Jr. is out there still speaking. You can pull up YouTubes of him telling people, especially black children, about vaccines and not to take vaccines because of the CDC whistleblower. And then they discredited the whistleblower.
Oh, man. Always.
I know. Yes. So, mental note, if you listen to the show, you don't really need vaccines. You can always go to an herbalist and get something if something is wrong with you. You don't have to use chemical treatments for you all the time. But that is real problematic, but I'm sure that's going to come out anyway. even if they got it out of the film festival. But it was sick the way the story went. So, you know, there's another story that I guess the federal government has paid $3.3 billion in compensation costs for people who had sued for vaccines. $3.3 billion. Because pharmaceutical companies are exempt. All right.
Oh, my gosh. So, I didn't know that.
It's actually the second story in there. Huh?
Exempt from vaccine litigation?
Yes. Yep. 1986, the National Vaccine Inquiry Compensation Program established by Congress just pretty much said that drug manufacturers do not have to play games. You cannot sue them for any vaccines. And now overseen. So there's a fund that has $3.5 billion in it.